Hey guys, it's a little bit noisy down here. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually in a secret location somewhere underneath Marshall Space Flight Center. Think I'm lying? So without further ado, let's play the music. Hi guys, and welcome to the show. Today we have Stephen Matthews back. We are very lucky to have him back. He's awesome, especially with PowerShell, and I can't wait to see what he's got to teach us today. As we do, PowerShell, 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 episode 3. Hey Steve, what's up, buddy?
Not much. What I got for you today is a script that came from the request of another customer that they started out with the guts of an idea, and we kind of worked it through a few versions to get a really nice end product.
Cool. I can't wait to see it. So, you know, we've done PowerShell episode number 1, and that's just, you know, done great. Episode 2, I think, releases either today, not today when this releases, but today when we're filming this, or you know, within the next couple days. So I can't wait for that to air, and I'm really excited to do this episode with you to see what we have today. So let's dig in.
All right, in the demo here, what I'm going to take you through is showing what finding the property we want to evaluate, looking at the type of property it is, so that when we write our logic, we know whether you know how to format the logic to the, where the item types match. So in this particular instance, we're going to be dealing with Boolean values and make sure we're not trying to match a Boolean true to a string true. So I'm going to show you how to check the property, the value of a property, and then go through equals and match difference. After that, I'm going to take you through 5 versions of a script. The first one starts out with manually, it deals with changing a property value, the smart card log I'm required, explicitly twice, kind of redundant. It does the same command twice, but with just different properties. I'm not with different properties, with different end results on the value. And then we're going to go into version 2. I'm going to collapse those into one loop, and I'll show you how to combine the end result properties that we're looking for, the Boolean true false, into a parameter. After that, we're going to go into version 3 of the script, which will show you require statements and you know how those fit in. And then version 4 and 5 is going to show you the end result. 4 will be the end result of the script that the customer is using, and version 5 shows how to take that script one step further into a function. So what I got for you guys is, as I said earlier, this was a request that came out of from a customer who wanted to flip the smart card required bit on their users as a logoff script. What property the smart card required logon is, and so what I did here was I used the get AD user identity with the properties asterisk, which will return all of them. I added this get member and select object property to filter out the proprietary information of our own network, so we can just look at the property names here. And as we can see right here, smart card logon required, that's the property we want to look at. So now that we got that property defined, I'm just adding it, I'm replacing the asterisk with that property name. That way it reduces the amount of information you're pulling from AD when you're doing this. That could be a concern with these larger environments with people logging on and logging off. It's already doing updates, so when we're going to piggyback on already on a log off or log on, we want to minimize that as much as possible.
And by the way, I just want to mention that that first get AD user command, you're just showing kind of the generic command there, and then you're refining it a little more as we go deeper into the script, correct?
Yep. Yeah, so this was showing
I just
you
wanted to point that out for anybody that's looking at this or watching this so that they understand that this isn't a script. This is the same command over and over again with just different properties associated with it just for demonstration purposes.
Yes. That's okay. That's very
all right, I'm going back on mute.
All right. So here now we've refined the smart card logon required, and if we add this to, if we append that to the command here, we're going to pull out just the value of that command, which you can see down here is false for this particular account. And now I want to look, and so I have a false here. I don't know what kind of object that is. I don't, or the property. I don't know if it's a string or if it's a Boolean true false. So I'm going to do a get member to figure out what type of property that is. And as we can see here, it is a Boolean, which is your true false. So that's nice because that works in very well with if-then statements. One of the things I want to point out here is that when you're evaluating against a Boolean, you have to be careful when you're using your operators for it, for the dash equals and dash match. If I run both of these commands here, and I'm evaluating them against the string false and the Boolean false built-in variable. As you can see, the first one returned false, as in it did not match, even though we know that the output is, it displays on the screen as a capital false. The
hold on just a second. So you got that by just piping to get member? That's how you got whether it was a string or a Boolean?
Yep, right here.
Okay, just pointing it out.
Yep. And so as you can see here, the false returned false, as in it is not true. It did not, the smart card logon required does not equal the string of false. And that is because the object that we, or the property we return back is a Boolean right here with that get member. So you can check and what type of property you have by using a get type. So the capital false that I have here with the get type.name, you can see it returns a string. And the dollar false, the variable, is a Boolean. So when we're doing equals, we got to make sure we use the Boolean, that the Boolean matches. Or if you're going to do strings, then you can use the match. So this one down here, it's the same as these two above, except it's using match instead of equals. And both of these will return true. So that's just something to keep in mind when you're matching properties for your logic in your scripts.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
So now moving on to version one of the script here. What the user wanted was he's checking right here if the smart card logon is required. And since that property returns a Boolean true or false, you don't have to put any logic into this command for this if statement because it will return a Boolean true. That's all the if statement's looking for. Once that evaluates as true, it goes into this loop. Now this is a do loop. And what it will do is it will execute the commands inside the loop first. It will always execute it at least one time. And then it will go into the until. And so this is the equation it's checking to see if when it can exit the loop. So it's going to do these two commands until this equals true. And so we manually set it to false. And it's going to do that until that returns false. And then we're going to put in the second do loop. It's the same command, except we're going to change it to true. And it will do that until it becomes true again. So the key to writing a script is that you don't want to rewrite the same commands over and over. If you have to write a section of the script more than once, you should really write a function or turn it into some kind of loop. So in the next step, that's what I'm going to do here. For version 2, I took that false and true, since that was the only difference between the two, and I created an array with those two objects, Boolean false and Boolean true. And that's with the at with the parentheses. So there's false object with the comma and then the true object. Then you send that to a pipe, and the pipe sends those through one at a time. So that false Boolean comes through, and it becomes false, and it goes through to the for each object, and then it goes into that same do loop. And it's going to evaluate it, that same command, but instead of dollar false, the Boolean false, I have the dollar underscore. This is the automatic variable that comes through across the pipeline. So whatever you're piping, whatever that object is, it will come through as this dollar underscore. So for the first one, Boolean false, it's going for each object, it will go into the do loop, set AD user, identity username, smart card log on required, false. And then it will do sleep for 1 second, and it will do that until that become until this equals false. Then it will exit that loop, this do loop, and it will go back into the for each, and it will go to the true, and it will do the same thing. It will pass this true into the for each object, into the loop, as the dollar underscore. Now, when we go to version 3 here, the only thing I changed here was I changed the username parameter. I added a param feature here. In these other ones, we manually set the username. Username equals dollar environment username. So that, if you're running these scripts one at a time, you'll have to manually edit this wherever the script is saved. What I did was I created a parameter with the username, and I set it to the environmental username. So what this does is when you bring up this script, it will give you the username parameter. And it will default, if you don't give it anything to use as a username, it will default to the environmental username, which I'm going to show you down here. If I do the, if I bring up that script, version 2, and I do a dash, because remember we have tab, or we're in ICE and it has the IntelliSense, you see there's no way for me to specify the username. Tab not working. But when I go to version 3 here, we got the username. And so at that point, you can manually specify what the username you want it to be. And if you don't specify anything, it will take the default. Now the other thing we notice here is that we're requiring the import module, the Active Directory module. PowerShell has this command called requires, pound requires. And you can set up requirements for the script before it even executes. So what I did here was I added this pound requires module Active Directory. So what that will do is it will check the system. And if it doesn't have the Active Directory module, it won't even try to run the script. It will just error out immediately. You can see what the...
I'm stealing that, by the way.
Yeah. You can see there's a few other options for the requires. There's run as administrator and a few other, but I'll bring it up here for you. If you do the git help about requires, we got the about requires information. It's a help file, so it's got the topic here. And here's the syntax. Here's some of your options to use. So you can require a specific version of PowerShell, specific modules, which is what we're using, and then run as administrator if you're going to be doing changes to something that requires administrator.
So you can I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Does requires run as administrator just check to see if you run it as administrator, or does it force the script into some sort of administrator mode?
No, it checks that the user invoking the script has admin credentials.
Awesome.
Okay, so the key thing about these requires, you can stack these up just like in the syntax here, but they have to be the first line of the script. And to piggyback on that, the parameter also has to be the first line of the script as well. So, but the requires trumps the parameters. One of the ways you can notice
there's
that
a hierarchy.
Yeah, one of the ways you can notice the parameter. Can you see this dark blue compared to the lighter blue for import module?
Yeah.
If I put something else in front of it, if I define a variable or something, you see how it changed to that regular blue?
Yeah.
The same blue as the import module. That means that. PowerShell ICE knows that it's not in the correct spot. And now it's back to the dark blue.
Okay.
All right. So this is a good script if you're just going to invoke it directly as a logon or logoff script. This is pretty much where you can end right here. You would call it in a scheduled task. You would do PowerShell, and then under the options, you would do the dash file. You would go to this name, and if there's a specific username, you would add that to the command. Otherwise, you could just let it run by itself, and it will take the default. And that's how you could tie it to a scheduled task to automate this. That's more if you're doing Active Directory auditing or something where you're going to get a report on a regular basis, whereas this is going to be tied to a log on log off script, so it doesn't, you know, that's not quite, you won't be need to tie that to a scheduled task. And just to step it out one more, I've taken this and I've wrapped it into a function here. You see? And it's the same script, except all I did was add a function with a name, with an open brace, and then at the very end, I did a curly brace. So what this does, if you run this just like this, it doesn't actually execute anything. It loads this function into memory. And then you'll have it as a, And then it will be loaded in. So here's all the script files, right? Because I'm in the same directory where they're at. But here's the function. So now I can run this as many times as I want, and it's not going to execute the script, it's just going to run the function. Now that's not very helpful in a log on, log off script, because if you put this in there and you reference it, it won't do anything except load the function into memory. So in this particular case, you would have to call the function at the end of the script, which kind of defeats the purpose of making a function. Yeah. It'll come up here. I got it. There it is. And so if you run that as a login or log off script, it will execute. It'll load it first into memory and then it'll run the command. And that's how you would take a basic manual process of flipping smart card logon required to false and true here on version 1 all the way through to a script and then a function. And that's all I got for you today.
So, Stephen, I've got a little bit of a surprise for you, dude. You inspired me to take a crack at writing a script.
Awesome. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah, exactly. So I had a customer say, hey, you know, I want to enter an alias, and I want that to output data about that person in AD. So, you know, all of the parameters that AD has for that user account. So what I did was I essentially started looking around and found the getAD user command, and so started kind of playing with that. And then the deeper I got into it, it went from like a one-line script to like a 30-line script.
Yep.
Which was kind of funny. So the first thing I'm doing here is just a write-host, and you know that just allows us to interact with the user, right?
Yes.
It prints text to the screen. So I talk about this is a PowerShell script that allows you to look up users in Active Directory by email address. I need to change that actually to alias. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that data and write it out to both a text file and a CSV. The reason I'm doing both is because I like the format of the text file, but the CSV is actually more usable for the customer. So we're doing both. He can use the text file for reference, and he can use the CSV to actually go and build queries in Excel. But to be honest with you, I really just did both because I could. You know, it's just
one more line.
Yeah, it's just fun. I learned about $error action preference, which is kind of cool. I was getting an error message. The error message didn't really stop anything from working, so I just decided to mute the message, and so silently continue does that.
Yes. Terminating errors will stop it, but if it's a non-terminating error, it will continue, and you'll get the red text. But if you do silently continue, that suppresses the blood.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, so what I did first was I created a couple of variables, file equals c:\temp\users.txt, and then file name. I created a $ file name variable for c:\temp\users.csv. And then essentially all I'm doing here is I'm prompting the user for the alias, right? The user enters the alias, and then we print to the screen looking for, and then the $name variable, which prints the alias that they typed in. And the thing that I wanted to point out that I haven't yet is that $name equals read host is just a good way to get input from the user. Essentially, we're gonna present them with who is the user you would like to look up, and then anything that they type in after that is going to be mapped to the $name variable. And so then I can go back and use $name in the script when I call getADUser. I also do $ADUser in line 18, and I make that equal to getADUser and then $name, which was the variable that the user entered. And then I go and pull all of the properties that I want. And then I do a little bit of an error check. I say if AD user is like asterisk CN equals asterisk, then I print user found. If it's not like that, in other words, it didn't come back with a distinguished name, then I'll print user not found, and we'll ask if they'd like to enter another alias. And then once I get that, we do a write host AD user, which essentially prints the result. And then we export AD user to both CSV, right, using the $ file name variable, which I set to C:\temp\users.csv. And we also export it to a text file using the dot file variable. And I'm appending to both so that we get a pretty cool looking output. It's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is great. This is this is what I like to see out there.
And then we just do a more, $more read host. Would you like to look up somebody else, essentially? And then if you do an N, we stop. But that's all we're doing here, and it's actually a lot of fun, man. I got into it, I got into it because of your PowerShell sessions. So I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
All right. Well, that's all I've got for today. Steven, thank you for being on the show again.
You're welcome. I love coming on here and talk about PowerShell. I'll talk about it all day.
Yeah, I know you can, buddy. It's cool stuff. And like I said, it's pretty inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, guys, I guess that's it for this show. It's a little shorter than normal by a few minutes, but not by much. Anyway, thanks for watching, and that's your Taste of Premiere.